today's lesson. Now, over the past 3 weeks, there have been three lessons titled, "There is Something in a Name, in God's Scheme of Things." 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, we started that, and we have had three lessons on the subject that there is something in a name in God's scheme of things. I promised last week when we had the last lesson that that would be the final lesson for now. That is on that subject. Now, after I had looked over some of my notes that I had put aside on that subject, it came to me that I would be doing injustice to the subject without today's lesson, which is not so much that there's something in a name in God's scheme of things, but today's lesson has a direct relationship to those three lessons. The title of today's lesson is The Seed Principle. S-E-E-D. The Seed Principle. In today's study of God's Word, we shall examine the seed principle, or the seed law, as it is stated in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, verse 21 and verse 24 and 25. With those passages, plus a few other passages, the passage of Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 will play an important part. The passage of Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, verse 21 and verse 24 and 25, that was read not long ago. The passage of Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 was not read. May we have that? Because that passage to deal with the seed principle. Let us hear it.
Now the parable is this.
Jesus Christ speaking says, now the parable is this.
The seed is the word of God.
The seed is the word of God. But somebody, Brother Mitchell, I thought it was plant that produced seed. Where the word of God has to do with seed? Really, it's a metaphor. You know, Jesus Christ is likening the word of God to seed because there is some commonness in both. The seed is the word of God. The seed principle. Genesis chapter 1 And verse 11, this morning, verse 11 and 12 were read. Let us listen to verse 11 again.
And God said, let the earth bring forth grass.
Let the earth bring forth grass.
The herb yielding seed.
And let the earth yield seed.
And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind.
And the fruit tree yielding fruit after
his kind.
His kind.
Whose seed is in itself.
Whose seed is in itself.
Upon the earth.
Upon the earth. May I? This is a command. What the brothers just read in verse 11 is a command from God. It's a command from God to nature or to the earth, telling the earth what it should do. Watch here. The emphasis in the text is on seed and the reproductive activity and power that is found in seed. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. The emphasis, and it's like, remember, this is at creation. And it's like God is opening the eyes of intelligence, human being, to something that at least at that time men and women would never have guessed. This, that is the reproductive activity of that which seemed to be inanimate. That seems to have no life. That is a seed of a plant. The Almighty God is showing in this command to nature that seed does have power, the power of reproduction. Briefly consider, just for a few seconds, consider the power, rather the miraculous power of any seed. When we plant a seed, just briefly, give it a few days, enough moisture, and that seed begin to send out root. And watch here, and that root goes down in darkness, the dark earth, for nourishment. And watch here, the same time it is sending root down in the darkness of the earth, it is sending up sprout to benefit from all the power that is in the sunlight. And before long, it produced so much that is beneficial to human being. Seed. Are we all there? The law or the principle governing the reproductive power of all living things, that law is stated here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, verse 21. And verse 24 and 25, the law or the principle governing the reproductive power of all living things, has just been stated here by the Almighty God in these passages. Seed will produce after its kind. I need to state that again. Somebody said, I mean, I know the preacher come to church to discuss botany. No, we are going to be discussing Bible. In fact, we are discussing Bible. That I'm touching on a little botany, our plant world, is because the Bible says a lot about the plant world. Yes. So I state again that seed will produce after its kind. And that is, in fact, let me state this first before I... seed will produce its or his, the Bible used the word his, you know, but really, we said plants, we treat it as an inanimate object. So let me use the word it, that plants will produce its own kind. Let me extend that. Every living thing will produce its own kind. That is a biological, a botanical, a zoological principle that God laid down from creation. Every living thing, when the Bible talks about, and do you know that in one chapter, in Genesis, I'll give you that 10 times the word or the phrase after its kind is used. And in the writing of Moses, in fact, let me get to that in a few seconds. I repeat that every living thing on this earth going to produce its own kind. Whatever come from its seed going to resemble it. And this is something that God fixed from creation. Are we all there? The expression after its own kind occurs 10 times in the first chapter of Genesis. 10 times after its own kind. And a total of 30 times in the writing of Moses. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. After its own kind occurs some 30 times in those 5 books. And in the first chapter of Genesis, it occurs 10 time. Seed from what we have learned in these passages read so far. Seed has within itself the capacity and the power to perpetuate or propagate or to continue itself for generation after generation. That is, once the seed is preserved, that thing, that animal, that person will go on for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. That's no accident. God placed that power in seed to perpetuate things through endless generation. It is not only to perpetuate, but to maintain its identity. This is important, because I'm getting now close to my lesson. Seed, if it is preserved uncontaminated, seed, if you let it remain in its pure state, it's going to reproduce the same thing from which it came. That's putting it down to earth. Seed. And that is so that its identity can be preserved. May I? The scientists tell us about evolution, huh? That you and I come from nothing, a non-intelligent whatever, and that over centuries, millions, billions of years, we evolve until we reach looking like what we look now. May I? That's pure foolishness, because for some reason human being, we have been around for some mighty long time, and for some reason we have not evolved further than what we are now. Truly, something wrong. And I'm not the only one who thinks so. You have world top scientists who show the ridiculousness of certain aspect of evolution. The Negroid race. We are Negroid. That's against the European or the Asiatic people from Asia, like the Chinese, Japanese. Now, we, the Negroid, we have been like this for thousands upon thousands of years, with the pigment of our skin. And the reason why some of us are a little darker, a little clearer, is because of intermarriage with other ethnic groups. But we have essentially remained the same for thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. So are the Chinese, so the Europeans, so the Japanese. You know why? God fixed that in seed. That's right. That's right. God fixed this at creation as the law governing every living thing, that it must produce and it will produce its own kind. It must produce its own kind and it will produce its own kind. Are we all there? That is, when it talks about its own kind, it means what it produced must resemble and look like that from which it came. That power in seed also create, as God would have it, the propagation or the multiplying or the continuation of, is it the human race? Is it the animal? Is it the bird? All of them have continued for thousands upon hundreds of thousands of years because of the power that is in the seed. Are we all there? In the plant, in the animal, in the human. And you know what? In the spiritual too. Let us hear Luke again, chapter 8 and verse 11. Let us hear it, Luke 8, 11.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
Read that again.
The seed.
Jesus Christ, of course, had just told a parable, a man who went out to sow seed. And when the seed was sown, it encountered about four or five different kind of soil. But watch here. Those four or five different kind of soil represent human heart or mind. So at the end, Jesus Christ explaining to his followers, he said what he said there, brother.
Now the parable is this.
The parable is this.
The seed is the word of God.
Of all the things he said, he started to explain with the important point about what the seed is, because that's the key. The seed is the word of God. As I've said, this is a metaphor. Jesus Christ was likening God's word to seed. And in so many ways, we can see the wisdom of this. May I? When the spiritual seed, the word of God, was sown, when the seed, the word of God, was sown in the first century AD, when it was sown in the hearts of men and women, yes, this seed, the word of God, it's not sown in botanical soil. It's sown in biological soil, the heart. When this seed, the word of God, was sown in the first century, while Paul, Peter, James, John was alive. Watch here. How was it sown, Brother Mitchell? When they preach and teach the word of God. Follow me now, please. And when men listen, and accept the teaching they got from Jesus' close followers, men that were trained by Christ and guided by the Holy Spirit, when they preach the pure gospel, what do you mean, Mr. Mitchell, by pure gospel? They didn't add their own concept to it. It was pure. Watch here. It had to be pure. Wait. Watch here. Almost any seed can be interfered with and produce something else. Are we all there? You're surprised at some things that scientists can produce in a laboratory. That is when it is interfered with. The scientists interfere with mango and they can make mango big somehow. They interfere with pear, as is avocado. Name it. But you see, it interference. Now, when the word of God, which is the spiritual seed, is sown in the heart of men and women, in the first century when the apostles of Christ, when they were here, it produced Christian. Am I right? I know I'm right. That is when the pure word of God was sown in the heart of men and women in the first century. Watch here, I have some more news for you on that. It produced just Christian. That is when the pure word of God is taught or preached to men and women. And we have the Bible as a proof. The entire Bible, of course, is well over 500 years. I repeat, the entire Bible, Old New Testament, putting together their age, is about 500 years. As I've said, in the New Testament now, when the seed, the word of God, was sown in man's, women's mind, and they accepted and responded in obedience to it, it produced Christian. How do I know? The Bible tells me. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, I think, we need around verse 14. Let us hear it. True 16.
After, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye.
Watch here. May I have your attention? It says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Wait, it not finished with. It's talking about the name of Christ. Read on.
For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. on their part, he is evil spoken of.
That is on the part of men and women who do not believe in Christ, who do not accept the gospel of Christ, who are not willing to open their minds and their eyes to the teaching and the guidance of Jesus Christ. When they hear about Jesus Christ, it's like you're telling them evil. Amen. Read on.
But on your part,
you who believe,
he is glorified.
Christ is glorified. Read on.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer.
Don't suffer. Don't go practicing or killing anybody.
Or as a thief.
Don't go stealing, robbing others.
Or as an evildoer.
Don't go doing evil.
Or as a busybody in others.
Don't go interfering with other people's business.
Amen.
Read.
Yet. If any man suffer as a Christian.
What?
If any man suffer as
a Christian. Do you remember that in verse 14 he says, if anyone suffer for the name of Christ?
Yes.
Didn't you read something like that in verse 14?
If ye be reproached.
If you be reproached for the name of Christ. Brother, this is the name of Christ.
Amen.
That's what he was talking about. If any man suffer as a Christian. Christian. Wait, Brother McFarlane. You know what made one Christian? The pure seed.
Amen.
The pure seed. Wait. When the pure, nothing more, nothing less than the gospel of Christ in its purity is taught or preached to men, it makes only Christian out of us.
Amen.
So this is why, if any man suffer as a Christian.
Yes.
Wait. You notice what I noticed? If any man suffer as a Methodist Christian.
As a Christian.
If any man suffer as a Baptist Christian.
As a Christian.
If any man suffer as a Pentecostal Christian.
As a Christian.
If any man suffer as a Roman Catholic Christian.
As a Christian.
Wait. The pure word of God never makes any man or woman a Pentecostal Christian.
Amen.
A Methodist Christian.
Amen.
A Baptist Christian. Amen. A Roman Catholic Christian, a Seventh-day Adventist, the pure word of God. Never. It can't. Pure human biological seed can never produce a monkey.
Amen.
What somebody said, but some of us resemble monkey, brother. Okay. But resemblance is not identity.
Amen.
The pure biological seed of a human being, world over, and for centuries upon centuries, for thousands of years upon thousands, the zoological seed of a monkey produce a monkey.
Amen.
The biological seed of a human being produce a human being 100% of the time. Are we all there? Watch here. An eagle An eagle cannot produce a white wing fly, you know, it's a bird, or a bald plate. An eagle cannot. Our domestic chicken, fowl, cannot produce a bird as close as they are. That is because of the seed principle that God placed in every seed to produce only after its kind. And so is the spiritual seed. It will and must produce only after its kind. And you know what? When it is accepted, believed, and obeyed, it will make you Christian, nothing more, nothing less, 100% of the time. Are we all here? Whenever, wherever the same pure, uncontaminated word of God is sown, preach, accepted, believe, obeyed, it will always, without failing, produce only Christian. If it is the word of God, it must. That's the power that God placed in seed. And as I've illustrated in the plant world, that's the way it is. In the animal or botanical world, that's the way it is. Our zoological world, rather, that's the way it is. It must produce after its kind. God's word never in the first century. May I? The first century. Men like Paul, Peter, they live in the first century. 30 AD, 35 AD, 40 AD, 45 AD, 50 AD, 60 AD, 70 AD. But watch here, all the Christians that you're going to read of, you will see that none ever identify him herself as a Baptist Christian, as a Roman Catholic Christian, as a St. Paul Christian, as a St. Peter Christian, as a St. Apollos Christian, as a Pentecostal Christian. None! You have your Bible, check it. You know why there is none? Because the pure word of God that was preached by them cannot produce any such thing. It never does, it never will. Oh, Brother Mitchell, what do you mean it never will? Don't we are Baptist Christian to the Methodist Christian? What I'm trying to show you, it is not the pure word of God that produced that. The men and women who are Baptist, Methodist, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, they obey something other than the word of God. Let me turn it around. They obey the contaminated word of God. I may have to borrow some money from some of you, truly. I'm not joking. If you can show me, I give you the rest of this week, or if you want a month, I'll give you, where the word of God, as preached by Paul, Peter, Jesus Christ, produce Some St. Paul Christian, some Methodist Christian, some St. Peter Christian, some Seventh-day Adventist Christian, some Pentecostal Christian. I will try and come up with, let me see, 200,000 dollars. I may have to borrow some. I may have to borrow some. But if you can take God's word and show me that while the apostles of Christ were here and thousands of men, one day they preached and 3,000 people became Christian. There's another place here, it's chapter 5 or wherever we're, it's like much more than the 3,000 became Christian. And so, but if you can show me that they were anything other than Christian, just Christian. You didn't have some prefix coming before the word Christian or some suffix after the, it's just Christian. You know why? The spiritual seed, that is all that it produces. I'm here trying to show God's word never make anyone into a Pentecostal Christian. You are just a Christian. It never make anyone into a Roman Catholic Christian. You are just a Christian. That is, if you obey the pure gospel of Christ. Whenever you are a Pentecostal, Roman Catholic, Methodist Christian, or some other thing, you obey something more than or something less than the word of God. Now, take me up on this. I'll have to get a loan. My car, I can use it, but it can only produce only part of the collateral. So, you take me up. If you can find in the Bible where God's word, the gospel of Christ, make anyone into these type of Christians. Let me show you something. I'm wrapping up. I'm trying to wrap up here. My point is, if the word of God, the pure word of God, did not produce in the first century these type of Christians, if it did not make them Pentecostal Christian, Methodist Christian, Baptist Christian, Roman Catholic Christian, Seventh-day Adventist Christian, if it did not make anyone that, then the same pure word of God cannot make that out of anyone today. If it is the same word, if it is the same spiritual seed. A Negroid in the time of Moses. Moses married, one of Moses' wife was a black woman. That's right. And Moses' brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, no? Didn't like that and get at Moses. And God punished them with disease. So a Negroid, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 years ago looked like me. A Negroid, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 years after looked like me. You know why? The Almighty God placed that in the seed power that my race, when a man and a woman mate, if they are the same race, they are going to produce something looking like them. If you and I obey the same word of God that men and women in the time of Paul obey, it will make of us the same kind of Christian, wearing the same name, practicing the same thing, worshiping the same way. Let me wrap up now. Watch here now. We said we are all one. That's what you hear out here. Religiously, we are all one. We are using the same Bible and we are worshiping the same God. Okay, watch me now. Watch me now. Watch the inconsistency now. Here is it. I'm a Baptist. You are a Roman Catholic. I meet you and say, are you a Christian? You said yes. And you asked me now, what are you religiously? And I said, I'm a Baptist. And you, the Roman Catholic, say, so why don't you become a Roman Catholic? The Baptist said, no, no, no. But don't you say we are one? Why can't we swap name? You see the inconsistency? Because if we are one, as you hear out, we are all one. Well, why can't you drop your name and adopt my name? You are Roman Catholic, I'm Baptist. You are Pentecostal, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. We meet each other and we are in one breath, we are claiming we are all one. We are using the same Bible and all this foolishness. Well, then why don't you drop your name and accept mine if we are all one? No. You see, the Baptist not willing to drop his Baptist name. The Pentecostal not willing to drop his Pentecostal name. Yet, in another breath, they are claiming we are one. Well, my God, if we are one, you'd find it an easy thing to drop your name and accept the one that I wear. You see, that problem is because they are something other than Christian. When you are just a Christian, there's nothing to drop. Because you wear Christ's name honorably. You don't need any other name attached to this. Because the gospel of Christ, the pure seed. Remember where we are coming from, show that when the Almighty God says that every seed going to produce after it are his own kind. That was for, among other things, one, for the perpetuation of that kind of plant or zoological animal. Not only for the perpetuation, but for the quality it possesses, for its identity. And saying it is for the spiritual seed, which is the word of God. That's what's going to preserve pure Christianity until Jesus Christ comes back. Leave the word of God pure and it will produce Christian only. Whenever you have something else, it is telling you that it is something more than or less than the word of God that produces that. The seed principle. God's word never make anyone into a Pentecostal Christian. Never. And it will never. So when a man or a woman is, be it a Baptist Christian, Pentecostal, Seventh-day Adventist Christian, Methodist Christian, Episcopalian Christian, Roman Catholic Christian, you need to find out what make you that. It cannot be the word of God. And remember, I still leave this up here. If you can find, that's $200,000. I'm willing to sell my car to help back that up. If you can take the Bible and show me that there are some people in the Bible that were identified with be it St. Paul Christian, St. Peter's Christian, St. Apollos Christian, Roman Catholic Christian, Pentecostal Christian, Judgment Day Christian, because Pentecost is a day. So if you can find a Judgment Day Christian in the Bible, you may just have $200,000. Why I am so sure you will not find that, because the word of God preached by the apostle makes men and women Christian only. If you are here today and if you are not a child of God, you know what they did to become Christian only, or only Christian? They hear, that's where they start, you know. You have to start by hearing. That is hearing the gospel of Christ. That's what is the seed of the kingdom. When they hear, they move from hearing to believing the truth of the gospel. Among that truth is that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and gave his life to pay the price for our sin that we could not pay. So they must believe. Then from belief, they had to repent. What is repentance, Mr. Mitchell? Is when you make a resolution. When you decide that you're going to turn away from wrongdoing, sinfulness, worldliness, and godliness, and turn to Jesus Christ. That's repentance. It's when you decide to change your life from doing your own thing to start doing Jesus' thing. The Bible called that repentance. Are you a Christian when you repent? No, you move on from repentance to a willingness to confess in Christ's name. All these are what the Bible outlined to become a Christian. Are you a Christian when you confess Jesus' name? No. Wait, on confession. Jesus Christ said, if you're ashamed to confess him here, he will be ashamed to confess you on the day of judgment. So after you confess, you must be baptized. What baptism does, Brother Mitchell? It gets you in Christ. What baptism does, Brother Mitchell? It gets you under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that as many of us has been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. To get in Christ, you must be baptized. Faith does not put you in Christ. Repentance does not put one in Christ. Baptism does. Today you can respond to Jesus' invitation of love, grace, and mercy. If you are willing now to become a child of God, as we stand up and sing a song that the brother will tell us, you can come forward with a desire to give your life over to Jesus Christ. And let Jesus Christ be the one that start dictating to your life. Christ loves you, he cares for you, and he wants to save you. But watch here now. You can be saved only Jesus' way. By being obedient to the pure gospel as we stand and sing.